Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Kuf Chof Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. We begin today's shiur at the top line of Daf Kuf Chof Ches. The Mishnah had mentioned that one is entitled to clear out an area for the purpose of hosting guests or making room for the study of Torah. However, not all items can be moved, and the Mishnah went through a list of items that can be moved and those that cannot. We are looking right now at the list of things that cannot be moved, and the Gemara will be asking, why does the Mishnah have to teach me things that would on the surface appear to be obvious? The Gemara, top line, Avo Loi Es HaTevel. The Mishnah says that one cannot move boxes of untithed produce in order to make room. Pshita, well, that's obvious. And this marking, by the way, this diamond with the shaded in tip was featured as part of our previous shiur. These are questions that will repeat themselves, namely, that which the Mishnah teaches seems to be obvious. So the Gemara says, as far as the tevel, which is untithed produce that cannot be moved, why does the Mishnah have to teach us that? Lo tzricha, it is necessary. B'tevel tovel midrabanan. We're dealing with tevel whose status of being tevel is only rabbinic. Ukigon shezora be'otzitz she'eno nokuv. For example, vegetation that grew in flower pots that have no holes on the bottom. They are closed or sealed bottom flower pots. The need to tithe from such things is only rabbinic. But even so, one cannot move such tevel from that, namely produce that grew in unholed flower pots on Shabbos. Velo Meiser Rishon v'chulei. The Mishnah spoke about Meiser Rishon from which the Meiser, Trumas Meiser tithe has not been removed. So it's considered untithed Meiser Rishon. Meiser Rishon is the tithe given to a Levi. A Levi is expected to give a tenth of that which he receives to a Kohen. In the event that he hasn't given it to a Kohen, we are talking about such produce. So pshita, it's obvious that you cannot move that on Shabbos. One cannot eat from that. Lo tzricha, the Mishnah is necessary. Shigdimo bekri. We're talking about a case where the Levi preempted the Kohen in taking his tithe from the Kri state. The Kri state is where the grains have gone through the winnowing process and now they are piled up. Shenotal mimenu meiser velo notla mimenu truma gedola. The Levi has removed the trumas meiser from this, but he has not removed the truma gedola tithe that should have been taken off had the Kohen come first. Mahu detemo, I would have thought that this Meiser Rishon, from which the Trumas Meiser tithe has, in fact, yes, been removed, I would have thought, Kida Omar Le Rav Papa Labaye. Like Rav Papa suggested to Abaye, that once we have a Gzer Sakosif that says that all that a Levi has to take off is Trumas Meiser, and he doesn't have to take off the Truma Gedola tithe, I might have thought, like Rav Papa suggested, that that halacha would hold true even when the Levi preempts the Kohen in the Kri state. We learned in our previous year, and that's what the arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text is referring back to, we have learned that Levi does not have to take off the Truma Gedola when he preempts the Kohen by taking his Meiser Rishon in the stalk stage, in the Shibolim stage. But Rav Papa suggested maybe that exemption of Truma Gedola applies even when the Levi takes it prematurely or preempts the coin in the Kri stage. So our Mishnah informs us, like Abaye answers, that the exemption applies only when the Levi takes the exemption from the Truma Gedola tithe applies only when the Levi takes it in the Shibolim stage, not when the Levi takes his Maaser Rishon in the Kri stage. In such a case, in addition to taking off the Trumas Maaser, he is also obligated to take off the Truma Gedola. And in the event that that wasn't taken, so this is what our Mishnah is talking about when it says Maaser Rishon from whom the Truma has not been removed. We're saying the Truma Gedola has not been removed from it. Our hope is that the points that we are referring to in our shiur right now are clear, because we are assuming that you have learned Daf Kuf Chav Zayin, where we mentioned a lot of these points already. We continue. Velo es Maaser Sheni, the Hegdish Shelo Niftu. Our Mishnah mentioned that you cannot move the Maaser Sheni fruits that have not been redeemed, nor Hegdish items, sanctified items that have not been redeemed. Well, Pshita, that's obvious. It's forbidden for you to benefit from, so it's mukse. So you certainly cannot move it on Shabbos. The Gemara answers, lo tzricha, and pay attention to the fact that the answer lasts a couple of lines, and in the course of the answer we have to deal with both Maaser and Hegdish. And the Gemara will deal with each one separately as part of the long answer. So the Gemara says that we need the Mishnah in the case of Maaser Sheni and Hegdish that were in fact redeemed. The Niftu v'lo Niftu kilchasen. The Mishnah simply says they weren't redeemed. The Gemara clarifies and says they were redeemed but not properly. Maaser, the example of the Maaser Sheni produce that is redeemed improperly is Shepodo Agabi Asimon. It was redeemed on an unminted metal disc. In other words, a minted metal disc would be a coin. But if it's unminted, it's called an Asimon. And as such, it might have inherent value as it is a piece of metal, but it doesn't have a tsura on it. The Rachmon Omar, the Posuk says in the context of redeeming Maaser Sheni, it says, Vetzarto hakesef biodecha. And we darshan this Posuk to mean, Dover Shiesh Bo Tzura, something that has a Tzura as a form. It's a minted coin. On that we redeem, but not on the Maaser Sheni, but not on an Asimon. Hegdish, what's the case of Hegdish that the Mishnah is referring to, that is a Chiddush? Shechilu Agabi Karka. The Hegdish was redeemed, the sanctity was transferred onto a piece of land, and that does not work in the case of Hegdish. The Rachmon Omar v'nosan hakesef v'komlo, that in the redemption of sanctified items, things that were sanctified to the Beis HaMikdash, you have to redeem it on money, and then the item leaves its sanctity status. And in this case, the Mishnah was referring to a case of Hegdish that was redeemed on a piece of land, which is, as we see, incorrect. Velo es haluf. The luf is a type of vegetation that one is not allowed to move on Shabbos if he's simply trying to make space. Tanu Rabbanan, the Tanaic source deals with the movement of different kinds of plants that serve as animal feed. And on the side of the Gemara, that's how we've titled this section of Gemara, Tiltul Sugim Shonim Shel Maichel Beim, the movement of different types of plants that would serve as animal feed. The source begins, Metaltalin Es HaChatzov. One can move Chatzov plants. It's feed for deer. That's a chardol. A chardol is a type of a seed that serves as food for doves. Rav Shmuel Omer Af Metalton Shivrei Zechuchis. One can even move broken glass. Mitneishu Michael Lenomios. Ostriches eat broken glass. Omar Le Rabbi Nosson. Rabbi Nosson says to Rav Shmuel Leo Elo Meato Chavile Zmoros Yitaldulu Mitneishu Michael Lepilin. Should you be allowed to move bundles of branches because elephants eat that? And in Rabbi Nosson's question, it's obvious that even Reb Shimon Galil would agree that you don't take into consideration the fact that something serves as elephant feed. Reb Shimon Galil, what is his response? In other words, he allows the movement of Shivrei Zechuchis, but does not allow the movement of Chavilei Zemoros. He answers, Ne'imios Naomios Shrichi, ostriches are common, Pilin Lo Shrichi, elephants are uncommon. And being that something is uncommon, we're not going to allow you to move food for such creatures. Omar Amemar, v'hu de'is le'nomios, the heter of Shom Liel, of moving the broken glass, is provided the one who is moving the glass actually has ostriches. Omar Rav Ashi, Rashi disagrees. Omar Rav Ashi la'amemar, elo deko Omar le Rav Nosef Shom Liel. That which Rav Nosson said to Rav Shmuel Eliel, Chavilei Zmoros Yitaltel Mipnei Shehu Maichol Lepilin I Isle Pilin Amaylo. If the person actually owned elephants, why would anyone suggest, as Rav Nosson was suggesting, that you should not be allowed to move the Chavilei Zmoros? So when Rav Nosson was saying his point about the Chavilei Zmoros, Elo Ro'oi, we're talking about something that in potential is fit for such a creature. Hachinami, in the case of the ostriches, we're talking about the movement of the broken glass, because it's Ro'oi for the Na'omios, not that you necessarily have them. So that's Rav Ashi's point where he disagrees with Amemar. Amemar said that only if you actually own Naomios. But Rav Ashi understood from the discussion in the source that we're not talking about people that actually have these things, but rather we're talking about the food or the items as being suitable as food if you would own these kind of animals. Omar Abaye. Rabaye mentions a list of Tanoim, Rav Shimon Leo, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva. Kulu, Svir Lahu, they are all of the opinion, Kol Yisrael B'nei Melochim Heim, that all of the Jewish people, even the impoverished Jew, is considered a prince, B'nei Melochim. Where do we see these Tanoim holdings of such an idea? So, as you can see, as the Gemara goes on, a house form appears, and on the side of the Gemara, under our Nosei Mivneh heading, we've indicated that this is a Sidra, a series Shel Tanoim Shesovrim Kol Yisrael B'nei Melochim Heim. And we're going to show that now. Reb Shimon Ben Gamliel Ha De Amoron. Reb Shimon Gamliel is based on that which we have already said. If we were to look back at Rashi on Daf Kuf Chof Vov Omid Beis, we notice in the Dibur HaMaschil Leorvim, where we spoke about food that would be suitable for ravens. Now, not everyone owned ravens, but since those people who own ravens, and Rashi toward the bottom of Kuf Chavov Omid Beis, five lines from the bottom, mentions Kigon Ashirim Shemegadlin Orvim Ligadula, rich people that raise them, and Reb Shimon Ben Gamliel in the Mishnah there had mentioned that you can move the luf plant because that's what Orvin eat. Orvin are, as we say, a type of bird, often translated as ravens. Since rich people own these things, all Jews are allowed to move the luf plant. So we see that Reb Shimon Ben Gamliel is of an opinion that the Jewish people are considered b'nei melochim. They are like princes. Rabbi Shimon, Disnan. Rabbi Shimon is featured in this source. B'nei Malachim Sochin Al Gabi Makosehen Shemen Vered. In general, and this is a topic we've learned in the past, things that are of a medicinal nature, one is not allowed to practice and use on Shabbos. This source tells us that princes are allowed to smear on their wounds vered oil. Shekein darkon shel b'nei melachim losuch b'chol. The princes, princely individuals, use shemen vered even without an injury being present. In other words, it's something that is customary of b'nei melachim to smear on themselves from time to time, even without any injury factor. Therefore, even if there is an injury, it doesn't appear as a medicinal procedure. Rav Shimon Omer, Kol Yisrael B'nei Melachim Heim. And here you can see we've dashed underlined the key phrase. Then it is Rabbi Shimon that says all of Yisrael, not just actual princes, but any Jew is entitled to smear Shemen Vered because they have a princely status. Rabbi Shimoel, Rabbi Akiva, Desanya. We have the following source. And in this source we will see these Tanoim expressing this same idea. And what does the source say? Hare shoyu noishin boy elef mona. Imagine someone who was being seized for a debt that he owed, a thousand mona. It's a certain amount, a large amount of money. The lovish itzulabas mea mona. And the person owing the money was wearing a garment, an itzula, a type of garment, worth 100 mona. Mafshitinoso. We will strip him of that. Umabishinoso itzula ruyolo. And we will give him, as a replacement, a garment that's fit for him. In other words, something worth much less. Tana Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, V'tana Mishum Rabbi Akiva. We have sources in the names of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Kol Yisrael Ruyin Lo Itztala. According to these sources, the Itztala, this article of clothing worth 100 mana, which is something very expensive, is something that is worthy of being worn by all Jews, because all Jews are considered b'nei melachim, like princes. And therefore, someone who owes money, we don't strip off his clothing, the clothing that he ordinarily wears. And since these Tanoim are of the opinion that it's normal for a Jew to wear very expensive clothing because of his status of being a ben melech, b'nei melachim, so the debt won't be paid through that article of clothing. Chavile kash v'chavile v'chulei. Tonu Rabbanan. Chavile kash v'chavile etzim, bundles of straw, of wood, v'chavile zrodim, zrodim, or type of reed, im hiskinon l'maychol behemo metaldenoson, if they were designated before Shabbos as animal feed, then they can be moved on Shabbos. V'im lav, if they weren't designated as animal food, ein metatlin osan, they cannot be moved. Rishumali omer chavilein hanitlin biyad echod mutal metatlin, bundles that can be carried, they're small bundles, they can be carried in one hand, they are mutar to be moved. Vishtei yodayim, if they are large bundles that you would need to use both arms to carry them, even if they were designated from yesterday, from before Shabbos, as animal feed, Usr l'taltalon. It would be usr to move them around because of the tircha, the trouble that is necessary. Chavile sia ezov v'kornis, bundles of these types of vegetation. You'll find that Rashi gives French words to explain many of the plant items mentioned in our sukya. So these bundles of these things, hichnison, if he gathered them in, le'etzim, to serve as fuel, then ein he gathered leitzim and to dry them out to serve as fuel. Ein mistabek meim b'Shabbos, you cannot draw from them on Shabbos. Lemaichol behema, if you brought bundles of these things of sia, ezav, and kunis to serve as maichol behema, animal feed, mistabek meim b'Shabbos, you can draw from them on Shabbos. V'koytem biyad v'urchil, you can break off from this stalk, using your hand and eat from it. Levad shelo yitom b'kli, provided you don't use a vessel for cutting them apart. which would be the normal way things are done during the weekdays. And on Shabbos, we strive to do things differently, al-yidei shinui. Umolel v'ochel, and one can break the pods that contain the seeds of these different plants. Ubavashel yimlol b'kli harbe, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. The allowance to be molel is true, provided you don't use a vessel that would enable you to be molel, to crack the pods or the shells of many of these. V'chachomim omrim molel b'roshi etzba'osav v'ochel. You can break the pods using the tips of your fingers. Ubavachlo yimlo biyodo harbe kederu shu oisibuchol, provided you don't do the malila, the breaking of the pods, in your hand and a large quantity as you would do during the chol, the weekdays. V'chein ba'amisa, v'chein ba'pegam, v'chein b'shar minei tavlin. Likewise with amisa and pegam, which are types of spices, as well as other different spices. The Gemara continues, my amisa. Here the Gemara wants to know the meaning of some of the items mentioned above. We have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align it with the previous arrow. So the Gemara is asking here, what is amisa? Answer, ninya. Amisa was mentioned earlier, and here the Gemara wants to know what is amisa. So it says that it's known as ninya. Sia, what is sia? And here our arrow will be of help. You can see that on that line where the arrow appears above, it mentions sia. Omar Rav Yehuda, it is known as tzasri. Azov is, which was mentioned earlier, is known as avrasa. Kornis, also mentioned earlier, is kornisa shma. It's known as by the term kornisa. The Gemara asks, "Vahu diomar lahu?" There was an incident where someone said, "Mine man boy kornisa. Who wants kornisa?" Vishtakach choshi. And it was found that the person who was selling the kornisa was selling choshi. So how can you tell me that kornisa, that kornis is kornisa, when we know that the kornisa is choshi? Ela sia sasri, this is like we said before, as well as azov is avrasa, like we said before. Kornisa is choshi. As we mentioned before, a lot of these plants are featured in Rashi with French words, and someone interested in trying to get further might look into some of the sforum that deal with Rashi's French words, and they present the words in English or in Hebrew. The Gemara continues. Basar itmar, basar maliach mutter letatalo b'Shabbos. Salted meat, one is allowed to move on Shabbos. Basar tofel, Rashi explains, she'eno maluach, it's unsalted meat. Rav Huna omar mutter letatalo, Rav Chista omar osur letatalo. So we have a machlokas Rav Huna and Rav Chista regarding the movement of basar tofel. The Gemara goes over and or refers to these shitas now. This is a question. Rav Huna Amar Mutter L'Tatalo. Rav Huna says it's actually Mutter to move the Boser Tofel. Rav Huna Talmid Rav Ave. Rav Huna was a student of Rav. Rav Krabuta Sfirle Disle Mukse. And Rav holds like the Tana Rebbe Yehuda that holds from Mukse. So how can Rav Huna, who is a Talmud of Rav, allow the movement of the Basar Tofel? Is it not Muksa? Answer, B'Muksa L'Achila Sovelok Rabbi Yehuda. With regard to Muksa, means something set aside without the intention of eating it, So that type of muksa takes hold, like Rabbi Yehuda. But muksa l'tatel, but as far as moving things, merely moving things, items, sovar lo k'Rabbi Shimon. So regarding that, Rav will hold like Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, when it comes to the issue of merely moving it, so the Bosser Tofel will allow it to be moved. The Gemara now refers to Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda Omar Osir Letavlo. Rav Chisda, did he say that it's Osir to move the Bosser Tofel? V'ha Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Amikla Lebei Rav Chisda. Rav Yitzchak visited Rav Chisda's house. V'chozahu Bar Avzo Davakom Metatlu Mishamshu Letulo. And Rav Yitzchak noted that they were moving a bar avza, is a type of bird, a kosher variety bird, a duck, or maybe a goose. The havakom etatulu, and they were moving it from the sun to the shade to keep it from rotting. The Omar Rav Chisda chisaron kis kochazinon hocha. I see that you are moving it in order to keep it from going bad. Now, we should look at the Rashi on this. The Bar Avza, by the way, was a slaughtered Bar Avza. And when they were moving it from the sun into the shade, Rav Chisda says, I see that you're doing so because otherwise, if it's left in the sun, it will go bad. So what do we see? We see that unsalted meat, which was the case over here, Rav Chisda allows the movement. So how could Rav Chisda be reported just a couple lines above, holding that the Basar Tofel is also betiltal? The Gemara answers, Shiny Bar Avza, the Chazi L'Umsa. The raw, the unsalted Bar Avza, this bird meat, is something that's fit for eating as is. Umta is to chew on it as is. And that is in distinction to the animal meat that hasn't been salted, that's raw, that's not fit. It's not fit for umta. Tanu Rabbanan, Dag Maliach Mutter L'Tatalo. Salted fish are mutter to be moved. Dag tofel osir letatalo. Unsalted fish, Rashi says, it is of no use. And he doesn't intend to give it to the dogs either. It's something that you intend for your own use, but you wouldn't eat it as is. So, dag tofel osir letatalo. Bosser, bein tofel, bein maliach, mutir letatalo. When it comes to meat, whether it hasn't been salted, or if it has been salted, it is mutter to be moved. Tosfos points out that we see from this discussion that animal meat that has not been salted, even though we know that before you can cook up meat, you must salt it, but if you're going to eat it in its raw stage, it's then classified as dam evarim shilopirish. It's blood from different limbs of the animal that hasn't been separated from it, still absorbed in that limb. It's mutter to eat that meat, if you should so desire, as is, even though it hasn't been salted. Of course, we're working with the assumption that everyone understands that in Jewish law, it's also to consume animal blood, and the general practice in removing the blood is through a salting process. And here the chiddush is that you have unsalted meat, but you haven't cooked it, and you're going to eat it raw, so it's okay to eat it raw, even though it hasn't been salted, because it's called dam evorim shelo piresh. Tanu Rabbanan. The Gemara continues at the bottom line. Metaplin es ho'atzamos neshu maichol leklovim. One can move bones because they serve as dog food. The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis. Bosor tofuach neshu maichol lechaya. Basar tafuch, Rashi says, masriach, it's rotting meat. It's tafuch literally means it's bloated, but that's what meat, when it starts to rot, looks like. It nevertheless is fit for chayos to eat. Mayim megulin, one can move them on Shabbos. This is water that was left exposed. And why can you move that? Even though there's a prohibition of drinking mayim megulin, but nay, shehein ruyim l'chosol. The mayim megulin, the exposed water, is something that's fit to give to a cat. A chosol, a cat has a, we'll call it an anti-venom mechanism in his body, of the body of the cat, and therefore it's not threatened by the venom that might have been deposited in this water that was left exposed, during which time a snake may have drank from it. So that the venom that comes, that's deposited in the cup, as we say, if a cat drinks it, it won't injure the cat, and therefore the mayim megulim is allowed to be moved because it's fit to give to a cat. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, kol atzmon osur l'shoson mipnei hasakona. Rashi explains, mipnei hasakona shemo yishte odo mehem. You cannot leave mayim megulim around whatsoever, because maybe a person will come to drink from it. We continue with the issue of the general realm of muktzah, things that you are or not allowed to move. The Mishnah, koifin es hasal lifnei ho'efroichim kedei shialu v'yerdu. A person is allowed to invert a basket in front of a chicken coop so that the chicks can jump onto the basket and into the chicken coop. Tarnagulis shaborcha, a chicken that escaped. Dochin oiso avshetikones, one can push it from behind until it enters the fenced area, the coop. Midadin agolim usyochin. The process of midadin is described by Rashi. Oiches bitzavoro ubitzdodin, one holds the neck of the, in this case, the calves or the colts. He holds their necks and their sides, vigoro umis, and drags them, umisayo leilech umenanelo baraglov. You help him walk along and shake its, and you shake its feet. One thing we should have mentioned maybe at the beginning of this Mishnah is that, in general, to pick up a Baal Chai on Shabbos gets involved with a problem of muktzah. Living animals are something that are considered muktzah on Shabbos. The issue here is, granted that it's muktzah, what can I do with regard to an animal that I need to get to a certain place and not be in violation of tiltal would be involved with an actual picking up of the animal and carrying it. So far we've seen the chicken, we see dochin, which has to do with pushing it from behind with your hands. Medadin, we saw how Rashi described that. We continue in the Mishnah. Isha medado es beno, a woman can do this with her child, and here's a case where the child is in even if the child is outdoors, this is what you can do. Isha medado es beno, Rashi says, ochzoso bizro osov, me'achorov, you hold the child from behind, you hold its arms, umisayato, and you help it, v'hu mania raglov olech, and the child moves its legs and walks. So that's medado es beno. The Mishnah continues, Omar Rabbi Yehuda imosai, when is this? Bizman shu notel achas umeniach achas. This is provided that the child is ambulating. He is picking up one foot and placing down the other. He's walking. Avol im hoya gorer, if the mother is going to drag the child, ulcer, that would be forbidden, because that is considered as if you are carrying the child. And since we're dealing with an issue of outdoors in a public area, so it would be forbidden to carry a child, carry anything outdoors in a public area. Omar of Yehuda, Omar Rav. Behema shenofla lama samayim, an animal that fell into a stream of water. Mevi korem muksosos umniach tachteha, one can bring pillows and mattresses and place it underneath the animal. Ve'im also, and place it means underneath, whereby the animal could jump onto the korem muksosos and get out of the ditch into which it fell. Mesve, the Tanaic source, is raised, brought in here as a question. Behemo shenofel amasamayim, an animal that fell into a stream. Oise lo parnosa bimkomo, you feed it where it is, b'shvil shelo tomus, so as to keep it from dying. But what can we infer from this source? Parnosa in, karmuksosos lo, providing food for it over there, that's all we're going to allow you to do. But to bring pillows and mattresses to enable the animal to get out of its problem, that we're not going to allow. So how can Rav say that in the case of the Bein Shinof Lama Samayim, that you're allowed to bring the means or the elements needed for its escape, for its getting out of the ditch? And from this source, we see that wouldn't be allowed. Loi Kasha, Hod Efshir Parnosa, Hod Efshir Parnosa. There's no contradiction between Rav and this source. If it's possible to feed the animal where it is, then that's all you'll be allowed to do. However, if feeding it is not an option, then we allow the korem muksosos. The Gemara explains, efshir b'parnosa in, if it's possible to support it where it is, then that's all you're allowed to do, v'ilo, and if not, mevi korem muksosos m'niach techteo, then you bring pillows and mattresses and place it underneath the animal so that it can extricate itself from where it is. The Gemara asks, "V'ha komavato kli mehechono?" The pillows and mattresses before the animal was on it, they were useful. They were muchan. They were allowed to be moved as a pillow is allowed to be moved or a mattress is allowed to be moved. With the animal on top of it, you cannot move the pillow or mattress anymore. So the Gemara, and that's called mevatel kli mehechano. You're voiding the vessel from its original state of being prepared. So what are we to say about that? Sovar. So he holds mevatel kli mehechano drabonan. The problem of the kli, once it's used by the animal, once the animal stands on it, it becomes forbidden. That's midrabanan, that prohibition. However, tzal ba'chayim doraisa, the case of an animal being subjected to pain and suffering is an issue that one has to act upon on a Torah level. V'asi doraisa v'dochi drabanan. So the doraisa factor comes and pushes aside the rabbinic factor. So that the rabbinic factor being the problem of mavato kli mechono is overruled by the salvation of the animal so as to get out of the tzar balchayim problem. In learning before about the chicken, we saw that the woman comes along and pushes it, dochin. We have a little note on the side of the Gemara where the rules or the examples concerning the movement of animals is presented in a increasing order. Dochen is the easiest thing to allow, medadin, and then okrin, and we'll see that in the Gemara. So we said in reading our source with regard to the chicken. So, dochen in, medadin lo. The medadin, in the case of the chicken, would be you hold it by its wings, and its while its legs are touching the ground and moving it along that way. That won't be allowed. Tanino loha de tarabona. We have a Tanaic source supporting, that's supported by our Mishnah. Medadin behemo chayv of b'chotzer, avolo es atarnegolis. Medadin can be done with these animals, behemo, chayas, and ofos, in a courtyard, but not a tarnegolis, not a chicken. Tana goes my time alone. Why not? Why don't we allow midadin by the chicken? Amar Abaye, mishum de makpi nafsha, because the chicken literally it causes itself to float. But that means that if you are midadin, that would be a case where you're holding its wings, and where you're holding the chicken's wings. What it will do, it has a way of fluttering upwards or pushing itself upwards, and it would then come out that you are carrying the chicken. Tony Chada, we have here a source, and the sources are highlighted with triangles, one here and another source two lines later. So one source says, Medadin behemo chayav ve'ov b'chotzer avalo b'rishus harabim. The medadin method of moving an animal is allowed for behemo chayav and ov in a courtyard, but not in a public thoroughfare. V'isha medadis b'no b'rishus harabim v'in tzochlom b'chotzer. A woman can do medadin, the medadin movement process. We said holding the child by the neck and easing it along from behind. That's allowed in the Rishus HaRabim and even in a public thoroughfare. V'ein tzorach lomar b'chotzer. And it's even more obvious that it would be allowed in a courtyard. V'tanya idach. There's another source that says, Ein okrin behemo chayav ve'ov b'chotzer afol dochin bohen shi konsu. One is not allowed to okrin. Okrin is to pick it up completely. Pick it up, including its legs, from the ground, because of the problem of muktzeh. So one aval doichin bohen shi konsu. However, we can do dechia. Now the Gemara asks, ha gufa kasha. When you learn this brief source with inferences, you'll see something contradictory. Amris, you said ein okrin, that you're not allowed to pick it up. Aval daduye medadinon, but medadin we would allow. And here our little diagram or our little chart on the inside margin where the star appears is very helpful. The okrin is the most severe form of movement that we will not allow, but something one step less severe we would allow. And then you say, v'hodar amris doichin in. You said that you will allow doichin medadin lo. In other words, when we say we allow doichin, dochen behind Ashkansu, it's like saying that's all we'll allow, but we won't allow medadin. Now, if you focus on that which we dashed underline, at the beginning of the line, we say, deduye medadin, and you're allowed to do the medadin, and here we're saying, we're inferring no. Omar Abaye. So we see Abaye, and we've double underlined his name. He offers a way out. He says, Seifa Ason L'Tarnagolas. The Seifa that says Dochin, and where we infer Dochin, yes, and Medadin, well, that's because we're talking about a chicken. And in the case of the chicken, we pointed out before that it has a tendency to lift itself up, so that if you do anything more than Dochin, if you are Medadin the chicken, which involves holding its wings, you'll end up carrying it. Omar Abaye. Here's another halacha would appear to be unrelated to our sugya, but there is a connection. Omar Abaye, Haiman de Shochet Tarnagolas, one who plans to slaughter a chicken, L'chbishinu L'kare Ba'ara. It means to press down its foot into the ground. Inami Nedal L'hu Nedal. Or, if you're planning to shech the chicken, pick it up completely from the ground. In other words, don't leave the chicken in a situation where it has some leg freedom of movement. So either you press the leg into the ground, the chicken's leg into the ground, or you pick it up completely. The dilma monach luhu l'turfe ba'aro, because if you don't do one of these things, it might wedge its talon into the ground. The okar luhu l'simonim, and make some type of yanking action, which will end up causing the neck organs to be ripped out of place, and that will in effect ruin the shechita. So Abaye gives us, in light of the the known chicken behavior with its Shabbos ramifications, we take that information and apply it to a situation where you want to slaughter the chicken properly without causing any ruination of the neck organ that needs to be slaughtered. The Mishnah, Ein Mialdin Es HaBehemo B'Yom Tov. One does not pull out an offspring of an animal on Shabbos as it's being born, Avol Misa'adin, but one can help it. The Gemara will explain what is meant. Umiyaldin Eso Isho B'Shabbos. However, when it comes to a woman, one can take more active measures. And that involves Mialdin, which has to do with also pulling out the Vlad from the woman. Vikorin lo chachoma, mimokom mokom, if need be, one can call a midwife from place to place. Umechalin oleo es Shabbos, and as far as the woman who is giving birth, we also will violate Shabbos for her benefit. The koshin es ha-tibur, and after the child is born, we tie the umbilical cord. Rabbi Yossi Omer af chodchin, we will also allow the cutting of it. V'chol tzarchei mila oisin b'Shabbos, and all mila necessities, things that are necessary for a circumcision, can be done on Shabbos. The Gemara. Ketzad Misa'adin. Before we continue in the Gemara, though, let us just glance at the side where we have a topic heading. Under our No Say heading, we have indicated Pu'ulos Ezra L'Leidas Behemo B'Yom Tov. Different actions that assist an animal in its birthing that one may be allowed to do on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, what is the Mishnah had mentioned that we're not miyaldin behemo, but we are misadin. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Omar, O Chizitz of Vlad Shali Polaretz, one is allowed to hold the newborn as it comes forth from its mother so that it doesn't fall to the ground. Rav Nachman Omar, Dochek Babosar Kadeshi Yetse Havlad. This is an action of pushing the mother's flesh around the birth area so as to enable the child to exit. Tanyo Kavose de Rav Yehuda. We have a Tanaic source supporting Rav Yehuda's version. Ketzad Misa'adin, how is Misa'adin done? Ochazin es havlad shelo yipol aretz. Notice we've dashed, underline that. This is the phrase that supports Rav Yehuda. What else are we allowed to do? V'nofech lo b'chotmo. One is allowed to blow into its nostrils. V'nosein lo dad l'soch piv k'dei shinak. And one can take one of the udders of its mother and put it in the newborn's mouth so that it nurses, that it suckles. Omar Shun Gamliel, merachmin hoyinu al behemo Torah b'yom tov. We were merachmin. Now, keichi ovid, what does that mean, merachmin? Now, technically speaking, the word merachmin has to do with to arouse the mother's love for its newborn. Well, how is that accomplished? Om Rabbi, mevi bul shel melach umeinyach lo besochorechem. One takes a bul, which is a fistful of salt, and places it in the animal, the mother's womb. So it will then feel pain. The salt will arouse pain, and that pain in the mother will remind the mother of its pregnancy, and hence will arouse affection of the mother for the offspring if it distanced the newborn. As Rashi says, Umrachmas Vlad im Richaksoi. The Rashi we just read is on the last narrow line. The Gemara continues. We'll read that phrase again. Umeniach lo besoch harechem. The bul shemach is placed in the womb of the mother. Kedesh tiskor tsaros, that it will be reminded of its pain. Utrachem olav, and then have compassion on the offspring if it distanced it. Umezalfin me shilya al gabi vlad. Kedesh toriach recho utrachem olav. The shilya is the afterbirth of the animal. The afterbirth is soaked in water, and the water then is taken and is poured over the offspring, which will remind the mother, because it will smell the smell from that, and it will have compassion for the newborn. The Davka Tahoro. This is true only with a kosher variety animal, Avol Tameh, although with regard to the birth of an unkosher variety animal, then this is not the case. It won't be allowed. My taimo, why not? Answer: Tameya lo mrachko vloda. A tameya, an unkosher variety animal, generally does not distance its offspring. However, v'imrachko, if it does distance it, v'imrachko vloda, then loy mekarva, does not take it back. So all of these methods of arousing the mother's compassion for it to take back, to restore its contact with the offspring, works only with kosher variety animals. Miyaldin eso isha v'chule. The Mishnah had mentioned that as far as a human birth is concerned, miyaldin eso isha. Michti tono le miyaldin esisha v'kurin lo chachoma mimokoim lamokom. The Mishnah teaches that one is allowed to assist a woman in giving birth and to summon a midwife from wherever she may be to come to help the woman give birth. The Gemara asks, "Umechalin aleo es haShabbos." This phrase also appeared in the Mishnah. I'll see, what is that coming to include? In other words, once we say that we're miyaldin es isha, and we summon the midwife from wherever she is, what more is there left to do that is included in the phrase that we are mechalel? We will violate the Shabbos for the mother if necessary. What else is being included? Answer: ha to Tan Rabbanan. And it comes to include that which is featured in the following Tanaic source: im hoisa tsricha liner, if a woman needs a candle to be lit, chaverta madlekes losaner, so her friend can light the candle for her; im hoisa tsricha leshemen, if she needs oil, then chaverta mevia lo shemen biyad, she'll bring oil, even if it's through a public thoroughfare. And the source will describe that we try to bring it in an unusual fashion. As we've said in the past, things that are done unusually constitute a method that does not violate Torah. Teach Torah level, a Torah level offense. We call that a shinui. So that even though the oil is going to be brought through a Rosh Hashanah, but it's brought by smearing it on her hand, and then once she gets to the woman giving birth, so she'll then transfer it from hand to hand. Vim eno sipek biad, if that is not going, if that won't be enough, then mevia besaira, then she can bring the oil by saturating her hair with oil, and then coming to the woman who needs it. Vim eno sipek besaira, then mevia lo bekli, and if the hair approach is not enough, then bring it in a vessel. And then you have no choice but to carry it in a vessel which is derech hotzah, which is the normal way of carrying and moving things. Omar Mar. Now we go over some of the points we just mentioned. Im hoyse tzricha liner, chaverta madlekes lo esaner. If the woman giving birth needs light, so her friend can light a candle for her. Moses pshita. It's obvious. We're dealing with a woman in the midst of giving birth, and we know that that's life-threatening. And things that are life-threatening are doche es haShabbos. So what's the big news over here? The Gemara answers, Lo tzricha besuma. The chiddush here is we're dealing with a blind woman who is giving birth, so that she herself doesn't need the light. However, Mahu detema, we might have thought, kivan de lo chazia, since she does not see, also, it would be also to light a candle for her. Kamash Malon, the Mishnah tells us, Asuvi Misudaita, this actually puts her mind to rest, knowing that a candle has been lit. Savara, she figures, Ika Midi, if there is anything that's necessary, Chazia Chaverta vi Avda Li. So, someone else that's there will now have light and do what is necessary for me. So that the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that one can light a candle even for a woman who is blind who is giving birth. And the Mishnah mentioned Mevi'ah Basaira. We mentioned in the Tanaic source Mevi'ah Basaira, and that was a method to get around a Torah violation. The Gemara asks, how is it that this obviates a Torah violation, tepuk le mishum schita, but is there not a problem that she is involved with schita? Schita is squeezing out that which is absorbed. So that if we say that there is, she needs more oil that can be brought than can be brought by smearing it on her hand, why not just bring it directly through a vessel? Here you are. If the consideration not to bring it in the vessels because that would be a problem of Chilul Shabbos. Well, here there is a problem of Chilul Shabbos anyway with the squeezing out of the oil from the hair. Rabo v'Rav Yosef Damich Ravayu Ein Schita B'Sear. The concept of schita, of squeezing out, of wringing out, does not apply to hair. Hair is a hard substance and doesn't readily absorb. It's not like fabric, cloth, a sponge that's absorbent. Hair is not absorbent, so that when you have a hair saturated in oil, you're not actually squeezing oil out from a state of having been absorbed. In effect, the oil is present amongst the hairs, but not absorbed in the hairs. Rav Ashi Omar, a second approach, he says, Afilu tema yesh schita b'sear. Even if you say that there is schita when it comes to wringing out hair, mevi'ala b'kli derech saira. When the source mentioned bring it b'sayra, didn't mean pouring the oil into the hair of her friend who would bring the oil that way, but rather a vessel holding oil would be placed in her friend's hair and she would carry it that way, which is of course an unusual way of carrying things. The as much as one can change, can do it in an unusual fashion, in a shinui way, that is what we will strive to do. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice a new marking, a house form, and we've noted under our Mivneh heading that this is a Sidra Shehalachas, Hakshus Yoledes B'Shem Rebino Mar Shmuel. And this Sidra, this series, continues until Kuf Chav Tes Omen Aleph. In other words, we have a series of halachas that are related to giving birth, brought to us in the name of Rav Yehuda, quoting Shmuel. So we'll notice here also another marking, and that is the diamond shape, the Roman numeral number 1 and a number 2 that appears at the top of Kuf Chav Tes Amud Aleph, at which point we will see that we will be seeing two Lishonos regarding this topic. So, Omar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Chaya in this context is a woman giving birth. Kolzman Shakever Posuach, we'll see these expressions that are featured with a double underline, kever posuch and nistam kever. Kever is the womb, so that as long as the kolzman shakever posuch, as long as the womb is open, And the time frame for this, the Gemara will deal with later. But as long as the womb is open, bein omra tzrichani, bein lo omra tzrichani, whether the woman says, I need you to violate Shabbos for my benefit, or even if she doesn't say thusly, mechalin olea es Shabbos. We will violate the Shabbos, we will take the initiative to violate Shabbos for things that are necessary for her well-being. As we said before, a woman in childbirth is in a state of sakonas nefoshes, it's life-threatening. Nistam hakever, when the womb closes up, bein omra, we continue at the top of kuf chav tes amar aleph, sricha ani, whether she says, I need you to violate Shabbos, bein lo omra sricha ani, or if she doesn't say thusly, but her friends claim she needs something, ein mechalin olea es Shabbos. We will not violate Shabbos. So as far as this version is concerned, and Rav Ashi Masni Hochi, this is Rav Ashi's version, it all depends on the objective state of Kever Posuach versus Kever Sosum. Marzutra Masni Hochi, this is the second version, Marzutra's version, Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Chaya, the woman giving birth, calls man she hakever posuach. As long as the womb is open, bein omra tzricho ani, bein omra ein tzricho ani, mechal os shabbos. This, by the way, is the same as the Roman numeral number 1 version. Nistam hakever, and now we will see a difference. Nistam hakever, once the womb is sealed, closes up, omra tzricho ani, if she says, I need something, Mechalin olel Shabbos, we will violate Shabbos for her. So here we see a leniency, if you will, in our readiness to violate Shabbos, because here the woman says she needs something. Lo omrot tzrichane, if she doesn't indicate she needs something. Ein mechalin olel Shabbos, and that too is the same as the version we saw before. Omrle ravina lemremar. Marzutra masni lukula. We saw the Marzutra, the number 2 version, which was lenient with regard to violation of Shabbos. There's a heter chilul even in the case of Nistam HaKever. Rav Ashi Masni Luchumer, Rav Ashi had a more strict version. Hilchasa Keman. Ravina's question to Mereimar is, how shall we rule? Omar Lei, so Mereimar answers, Haloch Kamarzutra. And why is that? Sofek nefoshes lahokel. When it comes to a matter of something that's life-threatening, and even if there's a doubt concerning it, it's not a certainty, but there is a possibility of something life-threatening, we will rule leniently in order to preserve life. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.